ஹரிஹி ஓம் தத்சத் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். ஓம் சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் வியாசசங்கரமத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரியபர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். ஸ்ருதிஸ்மிருதிபுராணானாம் ஆலயம் கருணாலயம் நமாமி பகவத்பாதசங்கரம் லோகசங்கரம் சங்கரம் சங்கராச்சாரியம் கேசவம் பாதராயணம் சூத்ரபாஷ்யகிருதௌ வந்தே பகவந்தௌ புனஃப் புனஃ. ஓம் ஈஸ்வரோ குருராத்மேதி மூர்த்தி பேத விபாகினே வ்யோமவத் வ்யாப்த தேஹாய தக்ஷிணாமூர்த்தயே நமஹ. ஓம் சஹனாவவது சஹனௌபுனக்து சஹவீர்யங்கரவாவஹை தேஜஸ்வினாவதீதமஸ்து மா வித்விஷாவஹை. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஹி. ஓம் பத்ரம் கண்ணேபிஃ ஶ்ருணுயாம தேவாஃ பத்ரம் பஶ்யேமாக்ஷபர்யஜத்ராஃ ஸ்திரைரங்கைஸ்துஷ்டு வாகம்ஸஸ்தனுபிஃ வ்யஷேம தேவஹிதை யதாயுஃ ஸ்வஸ்தி ந இந்திரோ வ்ருத்தஶ்ரவாஃ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஃ பூஷா விஶ்வவேதாஃ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஸ்தார்க்ஷ்யோ அரிஷ்டநேமிஃ ஸ்வஸ்தி நோ ப்ருஹஸ்பதிர் ததாது. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஃ. ப்ரஜ்ஞானாம் சுப்ரதானை ஸ்திரசரநிகர வ்யாபிபிர் வ்யாப்ய லோகான் போக்த்வா போகான் ஸ்தவிஷ்டான் புனரபி திஷனோத்பாசிதான் காமஜன்யான் பீத்வா சர்வான் விசேஷான் ஸ்வபிதி மதுரபுங் மாயயா போஜயன்னஹ மாயா சங்க்யாதுரியம் பரமம்ருதமஜம் ப்ரஹ்மயத்தன்னதோஸ்மி. யோ விஸ்வாத்மா விஷயான் ப்ராஷ்ய பச்சாச்சான்யான் ஸ்வமதி விபவான் ஜோதிஷஸ்வேன சூக்ஷ்மான் புனரப்னை ஸ்வாத்மனி ஸ்தாபயித்வா சர்வான் விசேஷான் நஸ்துரிய விகதகுணகண அசௌதுரிய நஹ பாத்து. അലാത്ത ശാന്തി പ്രകരണം. ഗൗഡപാദാചാര്യ has committed to resolve all other misconceptions, all their fallacious views. There's one glowing tip of consciousness and all the systems of philosophy are which are like the as though mithya patterns caused by the spin of the mind. So no view exists outside of this non-dual reality consciousness. What is that truth which is of the nature of consciousness? What is the truth which is of the nature of all pervasiveness? What is the truth which is of the nature of changelessness? What is the truth which is of the nature of timelessness? And it is that truth implied by the Tamatma or Brahma, which is the only truth, which is the source of existence of these various views. The very possibility of these views is because of that one reality. So discovering that reality and seeing everything being mithya in the light of that discovery of the reality alone is what? Advaita Darshanam. Advaita Darshanam is the solution, only solution for sorting out all the chaos caused by the mind. Therefore, he is presenting an Advaitameva Satyam. Non-duality of the reality alone is real. Non-duality is the reality. Duality is not real at all. Even though perception of duality cannot be denied, even though experience of duality cannot be denied, still, in spite of experiencing the duality, in spite of perceiving the duality, the fact is that non-duality is the reality. The duality is mithya. It's only as though appearance. It's just appearance caused by ignorance. Even this morning I had that. That's why Buddhi comes like this. Early morning class today, Shankaracharya's Bhashyam I was reading. Avidyakalpita advaitam. Avidyakalpita advaitam. He says there. This whole dual perception of duality is just a setup, isn't it? Caused by the ignorance. If ignorance is resolved, you can see how duality is mithya. When the duality is mithya means you cannot prove the difference. There's no way of proving the difference, a phenomenon called difference. There's no way of proving the phenomenon called difference, division. Where is the division? Where is the difference? Of course, differences are there. Mithya. In the realm of mithya, world of duality, you can talk about the divisions and differences, all mithya. The standpoint of the only reality without which there cannot be duality at all. There is no division, there is no difference. How subtle fact it is. It's all relative. Everything is relatively real, functionally real, objectively real, empirically real, absolutely not real. We have to see what is absolutely real. We need not study the Shastram, working very hard, you know, to know duality is real. Duality is real because we are experiencing it. We don't need to study Shastram. Duality is being real is known to us, known by experience, known by our pratyaksha pramanam is enough for us. We don't need any other pramanam. Pratyaksha pramanam is enough for us to know duality is real. But how real it is, that is the question. Nobody denies the duality being real. How real it is. It is as though real. As though real means it is empirically real, objectively real, functionally real, absolutely not real at all. To see how it's absolutely not real, you have to see what is absolutely real. Isn't it? Therefore, Gaudapada Acharya, we saw in the previous chapter how he proved, established there's no effect, first of all. Making us understand there's no karyam, he understands that there's no karanam. By proving that there's no cause, he helped us understand cause and effect are relative. The cause effect is seen in the mithya world of duality. This absolutely real Brahman or Atma is neither the cause nor the effect. It's the only truth which lends existence for the as though real cause and effect. Therefore, Jalata Shanti Prakaram, as I said, in his 11th, 12th and the 13th Karikas, he first wants to show the logical fallacy in the Sankhya philosopher's view, contention. We started already reading, let us see the 11th Karika. We have done the 11th Karika. We have to see the Bhashyam. We have to see the Bhashyam of the 11th Karika. It was a simple thing. And you know, Sankhya philosopher and Yoga philosopher, they join hands in saying Prakritihi, otherwise called Pradhanam, is the Moola Karanam. And the universe is Karyam. This is their view, which means they have their creation theory. That is why I told you many times before, all these philosophers have their own theories of creation. And why Advaiti does not have any contradiction with any of these people? Because Advaitin does not have one theory of creation. If Advaiti also has a theory of creation, then he would have become one among the many. Then he must be quarreling with, he doesn't need to quarrel, at least he must be also, you know, been contradicted by others. But now the others need not contradict him. He does not contradict with anybody because he is not one among the many who hold on to their own different theories of creation. Because ajativadaha, non-creation, non-origination, being his view, being the vision, he does not join any of the philosophers. That's why I made it very clear, we should never mistake Advaitam as one of the darshanani. Advaitam is the vision of the fact, not a school of thought, not a system of philosophy. Understand? This must be very clear. Okay, let us see here. Introductory Bhashyam, we have already seen Shankaracharya's Sajjativadibihi Sankhyaihi Katham Anupapannam Ityuchyate Satkaryavadihi or Sajjativadihi. It's been the same, isn't it? Karanam yasya vai karyam. Karanam yasya vai karyam. Verse number 11. Swamiji came to the number.
Page 469 below.
Karanam yasya vai karyam. Vai karyam. Karanam tasya jayate. Karanam tasya jayate. Jayamanam kathamajam. Jayamanam kathamajam. Bhinnam nityam katham chatat. Bhinnam nityam katham chatat. See, the Vaisheshika, Sankhya philosopher says, Prakriti arpadhanam is the karanam, mula karanam. And this Prakriti, mula karanam means the root cause, the fundamental cause. And being the fundamental cause, he also says it is ajam. When you say mula karanam, fundamental means it is uncaused cause. According to Sankhya philosopher, Prakriti is the uncaused cause. And he's saying uncaused cause, mula karanam. And he says it is ajam, unborn. Uncaused means what? Unborn. It has not originated from, it has no cause. Unborn. He says it is eternal. Mula karanam, prakritihi, ajam, nityam. Pradhanam, ajam, nityam. Or you can say prakriti, we take it also, ajam, nityam. Unborn and eternal. Having said that, what he says, karanam jayate. For him. Why? Karanam and karyam are the same for him. He says, why karanam karyam? But the sentence, what it means is, according to Sankhya philosopher, though he says unborn, the cause is born. Born as what? The effect. The universe. He says unborn, the contradiction number one. Karanam is ajam, but the cause is born as the effect. Is what he says. Now, we're going to see next verse also. Then, and here's cause and effect are the same, identical. Why? Because as the cause, so the effect. Therefore, he says they both are the same, identical. Karanam is karyam. Now the next question, next sentence, Shankara Gaudapacharya is asking this question. Jayamanam katham jayamanam ajam. How is it possible for him to say that which is born is unborn? Okay. Question number one. Katham tad bhinnam. Okay. So, bhinnam, so now that which has become the effect, okay, is what now? Bhinnam means that is, it has changed, it has become different. The cause has become the effect, it has become different. Bhinnam, having become different from what it is, okay, and how can he say it is nityam. Nityam is the word he used. How can he say it is eternal? Eternal means changeless, isn't it? So he uses the two words, ajam, nityam. He say these two, there's a contradiction in his views. That's what he points out. Okay, simple. We'll go to the Bhashyam now. Karanam. You already seen this, very simple, it's not very difficult to understand, very simple. Karanam mridvat upadana lakshanam yasyavadinaha. See, according to this Sankhya philosopher, karanam is upadanam lakshanam. The cause is like the clay, just as clay is the material cause. Clay is the upadana karanam for any earthen product. So also, Pradhanam is the cause of this universe for him. And Karyam, Karanam eva. He says what? The effect is cause only. The effect and cause are identical. Karyam, Karanam eva. Which means, Karyam, Karanam eva is Gaudapada Acharya's sentence. And Shankaracharya says, Karya akarena karanam parinamate yasya vadinaha. For this philosopher, the philosopher, Sankhya philosopher, for whom cause changes into the effect. Karya akarena parinamate. Cause alone, okay, assumes the form of the effect. Karya akarena karanam parinamate. The cause evolves into the form of the universe. That's what he says. The cause alone evolves into the form of the universe. And tasya ajam eva satya pradhanadi karanam. And his cause, which he says, the pradhanam, etc., is a cause alone. Mahadadi karya rupena jayate ityartaha. Shankaracharya explains, this pradhanam or prakriti, the mula karanam, which is unborn, alone, is born in the form of what? Mahat, etc. All the effects means what? The universe, the whole universe is the evolution of the prakriti when he says, he talks about the Mahat Adi. Mahat means what? Mahat. First Mahat Tattvam. The cosmic intellect, etc. All that is the modification of the cause, he says. So Shankaracharya continues now. Mahadadi akarena jayamanam chet pradhanam. Simply is asking this question. Hey, Sankhya philosopher, it is said by you, this is pradhanam mahadadi karana rup, karya rupena, mahadadi karanena chet, jayamanam chet. This prakriti as a cause alone evolves into, okay, is born as the mahat, etc. Katam ajam uchyate, what are you talking? You say it is unborn? And you say it is born as the if mahat, etc. Understand? Therefore, taihi vipratishiddham cha idam jayate ajam cha iti. See, two, he self-contradictory, okay? Ajam, he says, jayate, he says. He says, prakriti is unborn and prakriti is born as Mahat, etc. Which means what? At the end, this universe evolves into the universe. Which means the cause undergoing a change is what? Death of the cause and the birth of the universe. Like, isn't it? The clay has to undergoes a process to become the pot. In the way now, this ajam, he says ajam prakriti, ajam pradhanam, and then what now? Jagadrupena jayate is born as the universe. And Mahadadi means it starts from Mahat, etc. The cosmic intellect onwards, everything basically originates from Mahat only. That's why he says, Katam idi tai vipratishiddham. See, vipratishiddham means his own statement is contradicted by his own statement. Taihi vipratishiddham cha idam. Vipratishiddham means contradicted. By whom? Their own statements. Others did not go and say anything. Okay? We have to say, take his own words and present his own words. One ajam is contradicted by the word jayate. So So what is we have to understand from him? If the unborn pradhanam or prakriti has evolved in the form of mahat, ahankara, elements, elementals, etc., then you know there's a logical contradiction of unborn being the born. Okay. Now, in this context, Shankaracharya gives little more. Because Gopacharya stops. He does not really say too much. Okay. It's enough. Unborn is born, means that is enough to negate him. But Shankaracharya says little more about Sankhya philosopher, which Gaudapacharya does not say actually. He implies, but he does not say. What is that? When the question is asked, how is it possible to say unborn is born? Then there, this Sankhya philosopher has another answer for that. He says, Nityam cha taihi uchyate. Yes, it's also eternal. Taihi uchyate nityam. Not only unborn, also eternal. Okay? Eternal means absolutely changeless. But having said that, they say, bhinnam vidirnam. Only one part of prakriti or pradhanam, okay, evolves into the universe. Another part of prakriti remains changelessly, does not become anything. Okay, this is their view. Therefore, Shankaracharya brings that idea here in his, he doesn't say, but he says in his commentary, taihi uchyate, it is said by them, pradhanam bhinnam vidirnam sputitam. Bhinnam means what? Vidirnam. Vidirnam bhinnam sputitam means changed, modified. What is modified? Ekadeshena. Shankaracharya himself says, how is it possible? Ekadeshena sat sputitam. How the cause becomes, okay, modified partly. One part of the cause becomes modified as the universe. Katam ekadesha means a part. Ekadeshena katam sputitam. Sputitam literally means, Swamiji, evolved, broken also. Vidirnam, broken, evolved, changed, modified, transformed, all similar words. Okay. So he says, bhinnam, vidirnam, sputitam. All three words mean the same. So Shankaracharya first says that Sankhya philosopher says, pradhanam, the cause, is eternal, nityam. Having said it is nityam, he himself says what? Ekadeshena vidirnam sputitam. The word bhinnam he takes. So, a part of pradhanam becomes modified. The question is what? Katam nityam sat katam, katam sat nityam bhavet, if a part of it modifies, becomes modified as the universe means, how is it possible to say it is eternal? Eternal means all pervasive. Anything which is eternal is all pervasive. Anything which is all pervasive must be partless. Now he talks about the ekadesha. One part undergoes a change and becomes the universe, other part remains. So he's asking, one part becoming the universe, other part remaining, change means you say, how can you call it nityam? Isn't it? A partful pradhanam cannot be eternal. Eternal Pradhanam cannot have parts. First of all, cannot undergo changes. Cannot be born. Understand? So a lot of contradictions. And he gives example. Nahi savayavam. So let me read again. Nityam chattaihi uchyate pradhanam bhinnam vidirnam sputitam ekadeshena. Sat katam nityam bhavet. How can it be eternal? Nahi savayavam ghatadi ekadesha sputana dharmi nityam drishtam loke. Suppose any product like pot, etc. Ghatadi, any product like pot, etc. has what parts? Any product has parts, some parts, isn't it? It has its own parts. The top part, bottom part, you can say some parts we can say. So savayavam, any object such as pot, etc., having parts, ekadeshas putana dharmi. Okay, if a part of the pot, suppose it breaks. Okay, so a part having any part broken is not considered to be eternal in this world. A part is broken means the whole part is gone. It's not eternal. No change should happen any part of the object. But any object subject to change. Objects are subject to change, we know that very well. Anything which has parts, definitely subject to change. Parts will fall apart. Any product having different parts definitely will fall apart. We know that. So here, ekadeshas putana dharmi, a part having this quality, dharmi, dharma, attribute of having a part broken, is not seen as eternal in this world. Isn't it? So what is this Sankhya philosopher talking about? Isn't it? Part undergoes a change, becomes the universe, part remains like that. Eternal, unborn, is jayate, ajam jayate, nityam, ekadeshas, vidhi, ekadesham, ekadeshena vidirnam. It's all contradictory statements. Therefore, he says, Shankaracharya concludes his bhashyam, vidirnam cha syat, ekadeshena. Anything which is subject to modification or transformation, even if a part ekadeshena vidirnam, anything which has transformed, modified partly, ajam nityam cha iti, saying it is unborn eternal, is what? Vipratishiddham taihi abhidiyate. Okay? It is said to be contradicted. What is connected here? If a part of something is modified into something, then that being said to be eternal, unborn, is actually contradicted. Contradictory, isn't it? Iti abhiprayaha. This is the teaching here brought to light by Gaudapada Acharya and Shankaracharya. Two things, unborn, eternal, they say. But they say one part undergoes a change, becomes the universe. Anyway, it is not part. These are all contradictions. Okay, Karika number 12. Why I am not doing much? He himself is going to say again, if I always say this, you will feel bored. Okay? So second, 12th karika, 13th karika, 33 karikas only for negating Sankhya philosopher. Okay? Sankhya also simultaneously yoga. So we will go to that now. 12th karika. Now, the 12th itself is not one contradiction, isn't it? he has Sankhya philosophers' views contradict or self-contradictory. His own statements contradict his view. He says, Uktasya eva arthasya spashti karanartham aha. Please don't think I am repeating. Shankaracharya says here, what has been said alone, okay? Spashti karanartham means what? Spashti karanam means clarifying, okay? For clarifying what has been already said. Spashti karanam. For the purpose of clarifying what has been already said, Gaudapada Acharya says something in the 12th Karika. Uktasya eva arthasya spashti karanartham. So what has been already said? You must know that. Pradhanam ajam, pradhanam nityam. But he says what pradhanam is born as the universe. Contradiction number one. Pradhanam eternal, he said, but a part of pradhanam becomes the universe. Part remains, okay, unchanging. Again, the eternal thing cannot have parts. It's a contradiction. This has been said already. For clarifying what has been said already, Gaudapada Acharya continues. Let us see the Karika now. After concluding, after the Alata Shanti Prakranam, adding Advaita Prakranam, no doubt should be there. If still doubt is there, I am not a good teacher, we are not good students otherwise. Doubt should not be there. That's why Advaita, Mandukyam Ekameva Alam. You know why it was said? Come on, to the clear vision of non-dual reality, don't go and read anything else. Mandukyam itself is enough. But one cannot come directly to Mandukya. That's the problem, isn't it? We must have studied many other things to come to Mandukya Upanishad. Some understanding must be already there. Otherwise, it is not right to come. Go above the head. Karanad yadyananyatvam. Karanad yadyananyatvam. Karanad yadyananyatvam. Yadyananyatvam. Atah karyamajam yadi. Atah karyamajam yadi. Tava. Okay. Atah karyamajam tava. Atah karyamajam tava. Jayamanadhi vaikaryat. Jayamanadhi vaikaryat. Karanam te katham dhruvam. Karanam te katham dhruvam. Karanadyadyananyatvam. Karanadyadyananyatvam. Atah karyamajam tava. Atah karyamajam tava. Jayamanadhi vaikaryat. Nadhi vaikaryat. Karanam te katham dhruvam. Karanam te katham dhruvam. So he says, karanat yadi ananyatvam. Karanat yadi ananyatvam. Ataha karyam ajam tava. Ananyatvam means what? Non-separateness. Yadi ananyatvam karanat. If you have to apply the word effect. Yadi karyam karanat, karyasya karanat ananyatvam asti. Yadi karanat karyasya ananyatvam asti. What he says? If there is non-separateness, non-difference of the effect from the cause, that's the meaning of the first sentence. If there is non-separateness or non-difference of the effect from the cause, then you can say what? Karyam ajam. Karyam ajam. Then you can say what? The effect is unborn. Effect can be taken as unborn. If the effect is non, if there is non-separateness of the effect from the cause, then we can say effect is unborn. Isn't it? Effect is unborn, means there is no effect at all. Isn't it? Non-separate means no effect. Okay, this is sentence number one. Second sentence. Jayamanaddi vai karyat karanam te katam dhruvam. Now second sentence is. Yadi karanam jayamanaddi vai karanam karyat jayamanat. Now use the cause alone is born as the effect. The cause is born as the effect. Then, katam dhruvam, how is it possible to say it is firm, changeless? I mean, how is it possible to say it is eternal? Dhruvam. The word dhruvam literally means firm, and the word firm stands for here eternal, isn't it? Because he makes it very clear, the universe right from the mahat, ahankara, etc., the subtle, gross, the whole universe for him is actually mahataha, pradhanasya karyam, pradhana karyam. So if karyam is, if cause alone is born as the effect, means jayamanu, karanam karyat jayamanat, as cause alone is born as the effect, the universe, katam dhruvam, how is it possible to say that cause is eternal, changeless, firm? This is the literal meaning of the karika. Okay, let us see the bhashyam here. Karana, I'm not repeating because it's the same thing. Karanat ajat.
Page 471.
The bhashyam part I'm reading. Same thing he repeats actually. Karanat ajat karyasya yadi ananyatvam ishtam tvaya. He, Sankhya philosopher, listen to me. He says, karanat ajat yadi karyat ananyatvam ishtam. If non-separateness of the effect from the cause is desirable for you, then tataha karyam ajam iti praptam. Then what happens? What happens? The effect is unborn. You can't talk about the origination of the effect, jagat, isn't it? He says universe is born from the karanam, prakriti, but prakriti is unborn, he says. So what the question here is, if the effect is, the non-separateness is desirable for him, from the effect, non-separateness of the effect from the cause is desirable, then karyam ajam iti praptam. Effect becomes what? Unborn. Isn't it? But he says what is born. Therefore, idam cha anyat vipratishiddham. This is also another contradiction. Who says? Shankaracharya says, idam anyat vipratishiddham. This is another contradiction. What is another contradiction? Karyam ajam cha iti tava. Your view of saying the effect is born The effect is unborn. Karyam ajam. Karyam ajam cha iti tava. You say what? This is karyam. This is ajam, unborn. You say. He says effect also is unborn. Isn't it? That is second contradiction. He says cause has undergone change to become the universe. Cause is unborn. And a cause and effect are the same. Effect also is unborn, he says. There is also contradiction. If it is non-separate from the cause, then it cannot have said to be the born. Got the point? Okay. Anyati pratishiddham, this is the contradiction, another contradiction. Kimcha anyate karya karanayoho ananyatve jayamanadhi vai karyat karanam ananyati nityam drumchate katham bhavet. But you say this, anyate karya karanayoho ananyate. If the cause and effect are non-separate, he says it. If there is non-separateness of the cause and the effect, okay, and then also saying that jayamanat, okay, when they say this also born as the universe, then karyat karan ananyat ananyat karanam ananyate anyate karyat karanam ananyate nityam drumcha te katham bhaved. So it cannot said to be eternal. It cannot said to be dhruvam. Nityam cha katham bhaved. Why? Because anything born is subject to time. It cannot be eternal. And he gives a beautiful example, okay? This example will remember in your mind forever. Kukkuti. Cook. See, even Anjay already read in the translation. He's laughing. Okay. I'm very happy to have Anjaneya in the class. Anyway, it's another name. Oh, Anjaneya has gone. Anjaneya is our musician. Okay. Russian. He came from Mexican. Mexico. Mexican musician. Hanuman, that's what I was. Hanuman and you, okay. So, Anjaneya is very important for us. No way. Anjaneya stands for Vairagyam. Total commitment is to Rama. It's nice to have Hanuman here, Anjaneya here. Okay. So, Kukkutaha, masculine gender. Kukkuti, hen, feminine gender. So, Kukkut. Yaha ekadeshaha pachyate ekadeshaha prasavaya kalpyate. See Hebrew, not Sanskrit. One part of the hen is cooked, and one part of the hen in even his day somebody must have been eating. How can he say this? One part is kept for laying eggs. Prasavaya kalpate. If you say, is it correct? How illogical. It is as illogical as this to say, a part of pradhanam remains unchanging. The part of pradhanam becomes the universe. And part of, then they say eternal. It is unborn. Isn't it? See, when you say unborn means absolutely changeless. Eternal means partless. A partless cannot have, eternal being partless cannot have parts. Again, cannot undergo any change also. There's a lot of contradictions. Now, this is something he likes very much. What we're going to see in the 13th Karika. See, according to Sankhya philosopher, the karanam pradhanam, karyam jagat, okay, and cause, karanam is unborn, karyam is born. Look at this. According to him, cause and effect are the same, he says. At the same time, he talks about different attributes of the cause and effect. Okay, what are the attributes? Karanam ajam, unborn. Karyam is born. And yes, karanam is nityam. Karyam is anityam. Karyam is anityam. Little like this, there are many, he talks about the differences. And karanam is one, karyam is many. Like that, he has talks about the difference in the attributes of the cause and effect. Therefore, the unborn prakriti becomes the born into the born effect universe, and which is the eternal cause becomes the time-bound effect, time-bound universe. This is what he says. Therefore, to establish that, okay, he must have some proof, isn't it? On what basis does Sankhya philosopher say prakriti is the mula karanam? And from that mula karanam, the universe has come into existence. There must be appropriate evidence, isn't it? He cannot produce any evidence for this. There is no appropriate pramanam available for this. And then, when the pramanam is asked for this, and he says, there is no pratyaksha pramanam, there is no evidence in the form of perception, but inference is the pramanam, he says. So, very simple. Inference is based on the perception only. If a perception is not, there is no evidence in the form of perception, there cannot be inference which requires perceptual data. Therefore, there is no pramanam, no evidence produced by Sankhya philosopher. Present by Sankhya philosopher. Therefore, he is, you can say, it is incorrect. So, Shankaracharya does not say anything. Gopacharya does not say anything. Who find fault with the Sankhyas? Vaiseshikas. So Vaiseshikas alone say that inference, if the inference is the pramanam, is the evidence for this, then inference needs perceptual data. And so there's no perceptual data available because perception is not there. Nothing is perceived like that. Therefore, inference cannot be accepted. And then they say eternal cannot have parts. Unborn cannot be born, isn't it? Therefore, they refute their views. It is they point out the fallacies. So, Shankara Bhagavatpada also talks this says the same thing in his commentary. And this we are going to see in the 13th Karika. The 13th Karika is going to again completely finish. Okay, with this we will move on to the next. 13th Karika is the last Karika where Sankhya philosopher's logical fallacy is logically pointed out. Kimcha anyate. This one more contradiction, another contradiction. Ajadvai jayate yasya, ajadvai jayate yasya, drishtantastasya nastivai, drishtantastasya nastivai, jatacha jayamanasya, jatacha jayamanasya, navyavastha prasajyate, navyavastha prasajyate. Ajadvai jayate yasya, ajadvaijayate yasya drishtantastasya nastivai drishtantastasya nastivai jatacha jayamanasya jnanasya navyavastha prasajyate navyavastha prasajyate ajat jayate yasya drishtantah tasya drishtant yajat yasya jayate tasya drishtantah nasti. Words are very too small, very minimal words he uses. We have to understand ajat means ajat karanat. See, if according to Sankhya philosopher, from the unborn cause, the universe, the effect originates. Karyam jayate. He says, from the unborn cause, the universe, the effect universe is born, which means the cause is unborn, but the effect is born. He says, the effect is born. And the cause is eternal, effect is non-it, subject to change. That's what he says. Therefore, the cause also must be whatever. The cause also must be anityam only. If the effect is anityam, cause also must be anityam. It cannot be eternal, it cannot be nityam. Jata tucha jayamanasya. So jatat karanat jayamanasya karyasya abhyupagame sati vyavastha na prasajyate. Jatat jayamanasya. Jatat karanat jayamanasya. If we say, see, this is very important here. We can say what? What are the possible things we can think about? Cause is unborn, effect also is unborn. Okay? Cause is born, effect also is born. You can say cause and effect both are eternal, or cause and effect both are non-eternal, or you can say cause is eternal, effect is non-eternal, or you can say effect is eternal, cause is non-eternal. Like this, all possible views. He says all are incorrect. Nothing is possible. Why? We will explain that here. See, eternity and causal status cannot go together. If anything is said to be the cause, a cause cannot have the status of being the cause unless it becomes an effect. Unless there is an effect, a cause cannot have the status of being the cause unless there is an effect. If effect is there, means cause must undergo a change. It cannot be unborn. Cannot be unborn. And the effect also must be, of course, effect is born. If it is subject to change. So there cannot be, of course, he also says that effect is unborn, he says. That's okay. Effect is subject to change, he says, that accepts. But the problem is, the eternity and causal status cannot go together. That which is a cause cannot be eternal, and that which is eternal cannot have the status of being the cause. If at all we say, okay, the cause undergoes a change. The cause undergoes a change means the cause must have an other cause. Got it now? If a cause undergoes a change, if we say, the cause must have another cause. Where has the cause come from? It cannot be the moola karanam. The cause undergoes a change and becomes an effect means, it's okay. Then What is the cause of the cause? A cause undergoes a change to become an effect must be a product of some other cause. Therefore, and you have to prove what is the cause of that cause. What is the cause of that cause? Got it now? The two things. If the cause is unborn, it cannot be the cause. Why? It undergo a change. There cannot be effect. The cause is born, then it must have an effect. It must have a cause. If it must have a cause, then it must have another cause. So we have to find, it's not a mola karanam, it's only relative cause. And what is the mola karanam? We have to go in search of cause of the cause of the cause of the cause of the cause. Therefore, we'll end up with the problem of infinite regression. So Shankara, Gaurupacharya says, Vyavastha na prasajyate. This arrangement is not applicable. Why arrangement is not applicable? Vyavastha na prasajyate. If at all we say the effect is, if it originated from the changing cause, born, if okay, jayat, jatat karanat jayamanasya karyasya abhyupagami vyavasthana prasajyate. Whether you say cause is unborn, cause is born. You talk about the cause, there will be a problem. The cause is unborn, not only unborn. Even the cause is born, if you say also, this is a problem. Born means it is born from where? What is the cause of it? You have to go in search of the cause of the cause of the cause to arrive at the mula karanam, and you can never arrive at the mula karanam, original cause, uncaused cause. Understand? So, vivasthana prasajyate, this arrangement means what? This view of him is not applicable, not appropriate, incorrect, because it will lead us to the problem of infinite regression. The whole life we have to be searching for the cause of the cause of the cause of the cause, and we'll never arrive at the cause. So let us see the Bhashyam now. Ajat anutpannat vastunaha jayate. Shankaracharya will not leave him that easily. Okay. Ajat anutpannat vastunaha jayate yasya vadinaha karyam. For the Sankhya philosopher, okay, in whose view, in whose view, the effect in the form of universe.
Page 472.
Yeah, we're reading the Bhashyam of the 13th Karika. Ajat. Ajat means anutpannat. Anutpanna means unborn. Anutpannat vastunaha jayate isya vadinaha. So the Sankhya philosopher, in whose view the universe, the effect, karyam, effect, is born from an unborn cause. The universe effect has originated from an unborn cause. So prakriti, from the unborn prakriti, the effect universe has originated. For which vadina karyam. Tasya drishtantaha vai nasti. There is no drishtantaha for that. Means he cannot show even any simple illustration for that. There's no example available for that. There's no evidence for that. Isn't it? There's no evidence. Tasya drishtantaha vai nasti. Who says this? This is what Shankaracharya presents the presence, the view of the Vaiseshika's negation of Sankhya philosopher. Tasya drishtantaha nasti vai. Drishtanta abhave arthate ajat kinchit na jayate iti. As there is no proper evidence provided, therefore ajat kinchit na jayate. Nothing is born, nothing can be born from an unborn thing. An unborn cannot be a cause at all. Nothing is born from an unborn thing. Iti siddham bhavati. This is what the firmly, okay, it is siddham bhavati. What siddham bhavati means what? It is established right now. After going out of the class, you should not have a doubt. Okay, unborn cannot be a cause. The cause is not unborn. Here itself, because these are simple classes, it has to be here itself understood. Vaiseshika's view is negated by, Vaiseshika negates the view of Sankhya. Sankhya philosopher says, Swamiji, for him, ajam jayate for him. Vaiseshika says, ajat na jayate, kinchit jayate. From unborn, nothing can be born. Okay? Means that if a cause, unborn cannot be a cause first of all, from which it can, nothing can be born. It's all for us to, to say ajati vada finally. It's for us to, isn't it? To be clear about our ajati vada. Ajate nakinchit jayate iti siddham bhavati. Vaiseshika says it is established here. Nothing is born, nothing can be born from an unborn thing. Yada punaha jatat jayamanasya vastunaha abhyupagamaha tadapi asat. Tadapi asat. Asmat ja. Tadapi asat. Asansmat jatat. Tadapi asansmat iti. Na vivastha prasajyate. Therefore, anavasthanam syat. If we say from an unborn, okay, from the that which is born, an effect born of born cause. Cause must be a born. Then it must have another cause. Therefore, we can never talk about the creation of something from unborn. Something from a born is not possible. Cannot be established. Why? We can never prove the original cause. We are going to see later on. The same thing is going to be repeated again. That's why I'm not elaborating on it. It must be anyasmat. This is a print mistake. Anyasmat jata tapi. Anyasmat iti. Maybe anyasma, that's a print mistake there. Yada punaha jatat jayamanasya vastunaha abhyupagamaha tadapi anyasmat jatat tadapi anyasmat iti na vivastha prasajyate. It is something is born from something else, which is born from something else, which is born from something else means, then na vivastha prasajyate is Gurupacharya's words. Shankaracharya says, anavasthanam syat. Anavasthanam means endless. There will be endless. The search of the cause will be endless. There will be problem of infinite regression. So what now, what should we remember now? Cause cannot be, nothing can be born from an unborn cause. Nothing can be born from the born cause also absolutely. Relatively you can talk about. See, the cause and the effect system, the cause-effect idea itself is possible only within the realm of the relative world of duality. Absolutely, there cannot be a born cause, there cannot be an unborn cause. There cannot be cause at all absolutely. If there is a cause, we cannot prove the cause being the causeless cause. You cannot prove the cause having the cause also. Very important, Swamiji. This is what is important here is, it is not possible to establish the absolute cause. The first cause. The word, the first and the foremost of the causes. Relatively you can talk. Relatively this everything is a cause for everything else. You can talk which is a cause of the, which is effect. Relatively there are causes, relatively there are effects. Every cause is relative, na, has its own cause. We can talk about relatively cause and effects. A cause means it must be an effect of something else. An effect means it must have a cause, something as a cause. Isn't it? It's all possible within the realm of the world of duality, material world. Absolutely, we cannot say there is a cause, unborn, uncaused cause. Because there's no way of establishing, proving it. If something is unborn cause, and from that unborn cause, okay, if at all this absolute cause is unborn, nothing can originate from that. Nothing can originate from that, you can't call it a cause. Got it? Nothing can originate from the unborn cause. Then it cannot have a causal status. Anyway, it's a problem. If whichever way you see, it's a problem only. I think I clarified it. Have I? Okay. Now, 14th Karika. Now, he feels enough. Vaiseshika has taken care of enough of the Sankhya. And now we don't need to worry about it. So Sankhya's view has been completely refuted. We don't need to worry about it. What is Prakriti? What is Pradhanam? Within the realm of the world of material duality, anything can be said, but we cannot talk, go to the absolute. Isn't it? And here, Shankaracharya always reminds us, why such a great rishis? Why? What is the problem? Because even though they are Vaidikaha, accept Veda as the Pramanam, has reverence for the Veda Shastram, still they heavily rely only on reasoning. They only go to Veda only for, not simply to, for support for their views only they go to Veda Shastram. Therefore, they fail. Their search is not beyond the mind. The search is within the mind, within the realm of the world of duality. Matter only. That is why they come up to the Prakriti, Swamiji. Prakriti, up to Prakriti they could come. That is the greatness. But beyond Prakriti they could not go. To go beyond Prakriti, something, you need Shastra. Okay, now 14th Karika. In the 14th Karika, what about the actual Vaidikaha? In the 14th Karika onwards, okay, we can say until the 25th Karika. Now continuously, he is going to really make it very clear, just there's no duality again. To say there's no duality, to establish the Advaitam Eva Satyam, he is going to negate the Srishti Vadaha of the Vaidikas. Even the Srishti, the creation discussed in the Vedasha, Karma Kanda, in the Vedashastra. So So in Veda, when a Srishti is discussed, the purpose is different, isn't it? The creation of the universe discussed in the Veda Shastram has a different purpose, isn't it? But what happens? Some acharyas take this Srishtivada as real, and therefore they also think, now the creation is real. Therefore, they also say duality is real. What's the problem? Therefore, we have almost 11 karikas. From this 14th to the 25th karika, Gaudapada Acharya really is going to establish the creation, the topic of creation discussed in the Veda Shastram having logical loopholes. Just because Veda says, that does not mean that it is free from logical fallacies. That is why Veda cannot say anything which contradicts your reasoning. Understand? That is why it should be understood as a prakriya, not as the fact. See, of course, Srishti, create, the topic of creation is used in the Shastram as if, as the pramanam, as the prakriya, as the method of unfoldment of the reality, as the method of arriving at the non-duality of the reality, not to establish the creation. But some people, because it is said in the Veda, they are not seeing correctly. That is why it's very important to have proper analysis of the meanings of the mantra. Mantras have to be analyzed properly. The Vedic statements must be analyzed properly. Where is it said? What is it said? And how the meaning of one sentence from one part of the Veda, Vedanta, assuming it's the another part of the Veda, there's no contradiction. We have to see lots of things. Proper analysis must be done to arrive at the right meaning of the statements. Then we can make a conclusion what exactly is revealed by the Veda Shastram. So when the Srishti is discussed, why? Because Shruti always has a great concern, tremendous concern for every baby. Mother Shruti has tremendous concern because she knows, you know, in the very first opening sentence itself, Advaitam Satyam Dvaitam Mithya, which says there's no creation, there's only Satyam, there's no problem in life, there's no pain in life, there's no suffering in life. Where are the problems in life? If it says, there's some people who talk, no, what is this? Some beautiful talks I listen sometimes, not, I don't listen, I get to hear from other people saying, you know, there is only consciousness. Some nice music, okay? So many classes are happening everywhere, all over the world. And then people, big, huge crowds go there. I don't know what they understand and how they benefit. Bhagwan only has to protect. Maybe we are not sharp enough to understand. No, a nice music on the backside, isn't it? Nice piano or nice thing. Swamiji, we don't want to mention name, Swamiji. And then, there's only consciousness. You are consciousness. Close your eyes. Feel where, the other word, feel. You are consciousness. Everything is consciousness. Where is the problem? Where is the pain? Where is the suffering? Music stops. Silence. Quietly people get up and walk out. People come and say, wonderful, wasn't it? It feels so nice, so peaceful. How long that peace remains, we don't know. This is what the people are. So those days also, you know, people think very easy. No, it is not possible. If we say something, a thinking mind will not accept it, isn't it? Blindly. And then people will say, people will never come near the Veda Shastra. Therefore, to make the child do homework, always have chocolate in your pocket, isn't it? Show the chocolate, bring the child. To make the child sit for homework. So, the Veda Shastra thinks, my God, I had to make this fellow go through the discipline of Karma Yoga. I had to make this person go through the discipline of Upasanam, to make him worship, to make him pray, help him live a life of Dharma, I'll help him prepare the mind. You know, mind is so confused and going out all over, everywhere, except the truth, everywhere mind goes. And everything sees and false hallucinations, false misconceptions, wrong thinking, wrong perception. Isn't it so sad, unhappiness, pain? So, Shastam says, there is Bhagavan who created this universe. You know, Ishvara, Ishvara, the concept of Ishvara is brought in the picture. The same truth is given the Ishvara status and said what? Bhagavan is the cause of the universe. The universe has come into existence from Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the creator of the universe. The universe is Bhagavan's creation. But they are also very clever. And Bhagavan, being the intelligent cause and material cause of the universe, Bhagavan is non-separate from this creation also. So, slightly, okay. The model is brought in there. So, there also is talked about. Why? Because of the concern the Shruti has for the simple people. Manda Madhyama Adhikarinaha. Overnight, all entire humanity Manda Madhyama Adhikaris only. Nobody can directly understand Advaitam. That's why Upanishad comes last page of the Veda Shastra. Isn't it? Not in the front. As soon as you open the book, Veda, you don't get Advaita Shastra. Upanishads are not there. You come much later. So preparation has to go through all classes before you enter into the, isn't it? Advanced class. So preparation. There Upanishad present talks about Srishti Vadaha is presented. It's not denied. But some people do not see, they take the system very seriously and they believe duality is real, creation is real, karanam is real, karyam is there. Understand? So all these things. And then we talk about why we are born. It is said, why are we born as jivas? Because we all have karma. Why are we born here? It is understand, isn't it? What is the immediate cause of our birth? Relatively right. Absolutely is not correct. What relatively it is correct. We are born, our birth is determined by the prarabdha karma phalam. Is it real or not? It is not unreal. It is not absolutely real. It is relatively real. Yes, birth definitely relatively is real, determined by karma. If you take it as absolutely real, it's a problem. What is relatively real to be accepted in order to arrive at what is absolutely real? Once you arrive at what is absolutely real, then you can say, there's no birth at all. How can you talk about the cause of the birth? If jiva is like this, you know, we understood, isn't it? Every jiva is just a qualification attributed to the consciousness from the standpoint of the seemingly real enclosure, body mentions complex enclosure means. And how can we talk about the cause of the birth? Birth itself is not there. That's what Gaudapadacharya did in the previous chapter. There's no jiva. There's no jagat. And how can we talk about the origination, birth of the jiva and jagat? Isn't it? And then before you can't talk about the cause also. There's no origination, there's no creation. And where is the cause then? There's no cause also. There's no effect, there's no origination. Therefore, there's no cause. Therefore, there's what is this non-dual reality? Ajatiwada, he established in the previous chapter. Remember that? Therefore, now, so the immediate cause of the birth is karma, karma phalam. The part of the karma phalam, why, how do we get it? Because we perform karma. Why do we perform karma? Impelled by our desires. Why do we have desires? Because of the inadequacies centered on I. I am inadequate. Because the limitations centered on I am limited, I am inadequate. This I is very important. Inadequacy is centered on I. If somebody else is inadequate, I don't care. Bhargava is inadequate. I am not inadequate means no problem. The problem is don't say others being inadequate. I see others' inadequacy because I say I am inadequate. I feel happy others being inadequate because I am inadequate. So isn't it saddest thing? So actually speaking, there's the problem. Why there's inadequacy? Why there's sense of smallness? Why there's sense of limitation centered on I? Because I mistake the body for myself. I mistake the mind for myself. I mistake the panas for myself. I mistake everything other than myself for myself. Therefore, what do we do? All the limitations, all the attributes, all the dharmas of anatma are superimposed upon I, isn't it? So we have to go to kindergarten class number 1. Moola karanam ajnanam. There is self-ignorance. Moola ajnanam is the moola karanam. And the self-ignorance also, it is anadi, beginningless. Nobody has created the ajnanam. In fact, ajnanam is nothing but jnanam. Jnanam unmanifest is ajnanam. Isn't it? So it is only shakti, it is only power. The power of reality. There is a source of the power. And the source of the power and the power are inseparable, like heat and fire. Therefore, they're one and the same. They're non-dual. They're one. And the only reality is ended with the power. The power is what? Partially manifest and partially unmanifest. The manifest is jnanam, unmanifest is ajnanam. And ajnanam being natural, beginningless. Beginningless. Because the reality is beginningless. The source of the power is beginningless. Your power is beginningless, being non-separate from it. The non-separate is very important. That's why already we say what? Power is mithya. Unmanifest power is also mithya. Manifest power also is mithya. Jnanam is mithya. Ajnanam also is mithya. Because jnanam and ajnanam, the two different names given to the only source, the reality, which whose swarup means knowing, knowledge. And just, I'm going out of track to come back to the class, okay? And here, if this is anadi, is ignorance being partially there, your total ignorance is not a problem. Know that. The total ignorance is not a problem. In total ignorance, you cannot have wrong identity, like in sleep. But only in the waking, knowledge being partially is the problem. That is why error is possible in perception of the self. And there is error in the perception of the world also. And this error in the perception of the self and the world results in what? The problems. First of all, I become dependent on the world for happiness and security, mistaking it to be real. Why do I mistake the world to be real? That is, there's erroneous perception of the world. Because I do not know what is real. And I mistake the perception of the self also, because I do not know what I am. Therefore, the superimposition happens. Ajnanam, adhyasaha, adhyaropaha. Superimposition. And the superimposition results in what? All wrong notions. Any notion I have about myself is wrong. Because of this wrong notion I have about myself, what are the notions? Which I don't like actually. I am inadequate, I am small, I am limited. The self-image I have about myself is purely based on my perception of my, based on my body, mind, sense complex. I see myself through my body, mind, sense complex, my positions and possessions. That is how, how do I see? I see myself through, not what I am, isn't it? I see myself through what I have, what I'm endowed with. That is how there's a strong sense of inadequacy, strong sense of insecurity, strong sense of limitation. Insecurity, smallness, limitation centered on I. That is, it is, that is why we call it a fundamental problem. It is this common human universal fundamental problem alone results in the very rising of the phenomenon called desire. If inadequacy is not there, desire cannot rise. Desire to be what I am, actually. Should I have a desire to be what I am? I do not know. Actually, I am already what I am. I cannot become what I am, isn't it? But the desire to be what I am is because of not knowing what I am. Isn't it? So this desire alone becomes desire for everything in the world. Atmastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. I like this, I like this, I want this, I want this. Atmastu kama, for my own self, my pleased self, I want the whole world. Everything I want. Endless. And it is the desire, kamaha, eshaha, krodaha, eshaha. Isn't it? Mahapapma, it is this desire which impels me to go do the action. And poor I am, helpless. I do not know what I should do. All the time, desires are natural. See, we are so helpless. Desires are natural. There is no guide. And the desires have to be fulfilled. Sometimes the pressure of desire is that because my craving for the fulfillment of desire for my pleased self is such that I'm driven by my desires. Then, compelled by my desires, I do actions. And sometimes, I do not mind going against dharma for the sake of fulfillment of my desires. And that is when I helplessly become the victim of anger, jealousy, hatred, anxiety, fear, everything. Helpless situation. Then, once karma is done, relatively, and the laws which determine the results of actions, order, yes, within the realm of duality, relatively, there is an order. So, karma, niyatis, natural laws, determine the results. And results cannot be escaped. Results have to be exhausted. And results do not fructify in time. But karma's rich actions are performed, results are there in account, one's account in the form of punyam and papam. And they have to be, they are blank checks, they have to be encashed, they have to be translated into experience of pain and pleasure. No choice. This life ends. And the sukshma does not go. Where will the mind go? The mind continues its life. Body alone goes. Mind comes back with a new fresh body. Again to exhaust the karma. This is how punaha punaha jayate. Punaha punaha jayate. Again and again the jiva is born. This is the story of a jiva. Isn't it? Isn't it real or not? It is. This is what Shastram says. So Shastram has to tell, this is all. There's a part of the karma. And When did it begin? Beginningless. Life is a beginningless, endless cycle. Cycle of many births and deaths. Therefore what? You have sanchitam karma from beginningless time. There's accumulation of sanchitam karma. And part of it is parabdha. What exhaustion is parabdha, you're accumulating new punya papam called agami. Sanchitam karma, parabdha karma, agami karma. So you have to exhaust. Oh my God, this is how Shatram presents. You are caught up in this beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths called samsaraha, samyak sarati. There's no problem. Nothing can disturb samsara chakram. Nothing can stop this, properly movement of this samsara chakram. There's no choice. So Shastram makes us understand that there is a problem called samsaraha. Then we ask the question, oh my God, every time I exhaust the parabdha, I do not finish my settling accounts with Ishvara. My account does not get settled with Ishvara. It continues. Because agami, I accumulate. Agami joins some sanchitam. Again next parabdha will be ready. How can I free myself from this cycle of births and deaths? Why is it bondage? Because my birth is not determined by my wish. I am not asked whether I want to be born or not. My birth is determined, means I do not have choice over my birth. To be born or not to be born. I am not asked. Death also, there's no choice. I don't want to die. No choice. Death is not in our hands. We have no choice of not dying. We have no choice of not being born again. If we had a choice, we wouldn't have been born already. This choicelessness in our birth and death, we have to understand. Again, out being born, in between birth and death, there's choicelessness of having to go through the paths of opposites in life. Endless, isn't it? How much mental turmoil? That is what is suffering. The suffering is not physical, mental turmoil, turbulence, isn't it? So here everything Shastram talks about. Then, how can I free myself from this bondage of samsara? How can I have absolute peace of mind? Parashantihi. Then how can I have nitya mokshaha? How can I attain freedom? In Vedanta Shastram, in Vedanta Shastram, Gaurupachari will ask, come on, where is the bondage? When are you bound? You were never bound. You were never born. You're not, there's no birth, there's no death, there's no bondage, there's no karma, there's no punyam, there's no papam, there's no doership, there's no enjoyership. Where is the question of attaining freedom? Even moksha is as though attained. There's no real moksha attained. There's no real bondage. Everything is as though. As relatively real. Bondage is relatively real. Moksha is relatively real. Understand? So all these are happening in non-dual reality. So you only think, if you shift the identity from, isn't it, anatma to atma, you become a sakshi, witness, you are free. Otherwise, you become one of the witnessed, you are suffering. Isn't it? So, when this Shastram talks about this, even in this, now what we have discovered, what is presented as relatively real srishtivadaha for the purpose of teaching is mistaken to be absolutely real by some acharyas. And they also accept the duality to be reality. They accept creation to be real. Therefore, Gaudapada Acharya, in order to clarify this their confusion, again to establish non-duality being the right vision, he's going to point out the logical fallacies in the Srishti Vada of the Vaidikas. Okay. In fact, not one or two. There will be many illogical fallacies if we really take it as real. Again, of course, we understand. And how this is, in Advaiti, will take this Srishti as what? Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya. Okay. So, Karya Karana Vadaha. So, Adhyaropa Apavadaha. So, this topic of creation is taken as a method of unfoldment. Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya, method of superimposition negation in Advaiti. If we take it as a method of unfoldment, then it's only method of superimposition and negation, there's no problem. This will help you arrive at the non-duality of the reality. Otherwise, we'll get stuck. The Srishtivada. See, one more thing it is said. When you want to climb upstairs, there are many steps, isn't it? Then what should you do? If you better you go step by step so that you don't fall and have any fracture. If you leap, put the foot on the first step and then leave all the steps in between. If you leap means you will have to end up with a big damage. Isn't it? Therefore, we should not cause any damage to thinking. Help the mind. It's all, isn't it? Mind massage is needed. Therefore, very carefully, the Shastram, all the Puranas also uniformly teach this. Come on, the world is not real. The world is not a source of happiness. Nor is it responsible. It's a fact also. Not responsible for unhappiness. So don't be dependent on the world for your happiness and security. No, shift dependence from the world to Bhagavan. Then finally, that Bhagavan and you are essentially one, is going to say later on. It's a gradual shifting. Dependence is not shifted directly from the world to the self, but in between Bhagavan is brought in. When Bhagavan is brought in, Dharma is heavily emphasized. So, you are helped to depend upon your own living a clean life of Dharma for your happiness and peace. Isn't it? This is the slow. So that it be easy. Otherwise, leap will be a problem. Now, Gaudapada Acharya. First of all says, what causes the birth of the body? We'll say karma. Paradham karmapalam. Now, what is the cause of the karmapalam? We can go in this way. Karmapalam is because of the karma. Isn't it? But here the question will come. Karma is because of what? You go. Because you have body, mind, sense complex. The wrong identity itself is because of what? Body, mind, sense complex. isn't it? So, which the body is the cause of the karma, accumulate karma palam, because you perform karma. So, body is the cause of karma, karma is the cause of assuming the body. So, which came first? Which is the cause of the what? You cannot prove body is the cause of the karma. If I do not have a body at all, then I would not have been, I wouldn't have performed actions. If the actions were not performed, I wouldn't have accumulated punya papam. I wouldn't have been born again. So body is the cause of the karma. The karma is the cause of the birth. Body. Which comes first? Karma palam or the body? Which came first? We cannot prove. Like what? When the seed came first, the tree came first. Seed came from tree. Tree came from seed. Which came first? We can never prove. Of course, one is the cause, and here some people like this. You know, cause is also beginningless, effect also is beginningless. The Vaidikas, some Vaidikas hold on to this view. Karanam and Karyam both are beginningless. Therefore, what they say? There is a simultaneous flow of cause and effect. Simultaneous flow of cause and effect. We can't say which came first, you cannot say. The simultaneous flow of cause and effect. They say this. It's called Deha Prarabdha Karma Phala Pravahaha. Deha Prarabdha Karma Phala Pravahaha. You can say Deha Karma Pravahaha. Deha Karma Pravahaha. In what? Simultaneous flow of cause and effect. We don't need to say it. We can take anything as a cause. Karma is the cause for the body. Body is the cause for the karma. Because I have the body, I perform karma, I accumulate punya papam. Because I have punya papam, I'm born again, assuming the body. And this, they say, is also beginningless. Anadi. And this is some people who take this as the Srishti, Vaidika Srishti. The Srishti, the creation, the topic of creation discussed in the Veda Shastram. Now, Gaudapacha is very happy. Now, he doesn't care about other people, okay? Others are anyway, they themselves fighting and refute each other. But my God, this Veda Shastram should not be misunderstood. He's very, very particular. Veda Shastram should be understood correctly. Veda should not be criticized by others as something showing, saying something wrong. Veda says something means it has a purpose. Okay? There's a purpose. What is the purpose? In what context? How it presents? The whole analysis, that's why Brahma Sutrani, we have to just bow to Vyasacharya. Now, Gaudapacharya's job is, in 11 verses, showing all the logical fallacies in this Vaidika Srishti. Which is otherwise said to be samsaraha. Samsare doshaha. Isn't it? Where is samsara? He's going to ask for this. If we say, initially when we say there is samsara, means yes, we feel so nice. Somebody talks to me, you know, we will like all counselors are like this. Be careful, okay? And somebody accepts our problems, we feel so relieved. So Veda accepts, you are in samsara, yes. Gaurapada has no kindness. No, no samsara. He's going to say that. No samsara. It's okay. If there's no samsara, and he has to negate what is jivaha, what is ishvaraha, what is jagat, and what is creation, what is resolution, everything mithyatvam, already which has discussed, separately has discussed in second chapter and third chapter, that he is going to bring the essence of that again to help us understand. If we say there is cause, if we say this is the effect, it is how it is wrong. Because he's going to establish there's no difference, there's no way of establishing the absolute cause. Then he will say, of course there is a cause, there is effect, but this both are mithya. If you say cause is mithya, effect is mithya, he is very happy. If you say cause is satyam, then it's a problem. Cause is also mithya, effect is also mithya. And mithya, for it needs adhishtanam. A mithya cannot exist independently by itself. Mithya is said to be mithya because it has no independent existence. It has no independent existence means it cannot be established as a reality. It cannot be counted as something which is really existent. Which is really not there, isn't it? If you say wave Ramarupa is mithya, adhishtana must be there. Without the adhishtanam, that which lends existence, there cannot be the seemingly real mithya. Therefore, he wants to say the adhishtanam of mithya karanam, mithya karyam, is what now? Satyam. The satyam is what? Satyam advaitam brahma. This non-dual reality is the adhishtanam for this mithya karanam. What is mithya karanam? Mithya maya karanam and mithya karyam jagat. Maya is the karanam, jagat is the karyam. Maya is also mithya, jagat is also mithya. Adhishtyam is adhishtanam is satyam. And the satya adhishtanam is non-dual reality. One, secondless, non-dual reality. Ekam, advitiyam, advaitam, satyam is the only adhishtanam for both mithya, karanam and karyam. That is why we say, Brahma, this reality, is neither the karanam nor the effect, but it is distinct from both cause and effect. That's why Brahma naiva karanam natu karyam karana karya vilakshanam Brahma. Karya karana vilakshanam is advaitam Brahma. To establish this, to show the logical fallacies, first, here Shankara Bhagavatpada introduces the following karika. And to introduce the following karika, he first presents the sentence from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Yatrattu asya sarvamatmevabhut.
Page 472, second paragraph.
Sarvam atma eva abhut. Sarvam atma eva abhut. This is the sentence from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. See, sarvam atma eva abhut, all that is here is only appearance of the only Atma. All that is only appearance of the Atma. Atma alone is here as the universe. When you say, this is a statement of vision of non-dual reality. Therefore what? Paramarthataha dvaita bhavaha na. Shutya uktaha tam ashitya aha. Therefore, absolutely there is no duality. So based on this Shruti statement alone, what is this Shruti statement? See, anything when you say something, whatever one says, Acharyas like Gaudapacharya, whatever they say must be based on what is said in the Upanishad only. Isn't it? So in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Sarvam Atmaiva Abhut, Sarvam Atma Eva Abhut. Everything is Atma only. And this statement which reveals the vision of non-dual reality alone, isn't it? From the standpoint of this statement, Dvaitam, duality is not real. So based on this sentence, now Gaudapada Acharya is going to present the teaching which we'll see tomorrow. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om.